Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, as we are into the first Monday of the month, we've got a full Money Monday planned for you. A lot to talk about today with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. We got quite a list to go through. And there's so many things in flux right now with President Trump signing the kind of the replacement for NAFTA. We've got things going on with China. We have the impeachment, which will be over probably by the time we go to bed Wednesday. Interestingly enough, we have the State of the Union address tomorrow night, which will be fascinating. The Iowa caucus is tonight. And I don't know if you're a Rush Limbaugh listener. This was definitely out of left field and sad, and just somebody that, for me, as I've been a Rush Limbaugh listener for about 30 years and been, I guess I was learning about talk radio from him before I knew that God had a plan that would put me on talk radio. But certainly for the last 12 years, as I've been on the radio, I listen to Rush pretty often, whether you agree with him or not. He's a master on the radio in terms of talk radio. Well, in the last 10 minutes of the show today, he announced he actually has stage 4 lung cancer, which is very, very serious, and that he doesn't know what's going to be going on in terms of missing the show. Of course, he'll have the best care that money can buy, but I thought you would be probably interested in knowing that, and we'll keep an eye on that one. And you do not know. Nobody's guaranteed tomorrow. The scriptures make that perfectly clear, whether you're somebody like Rush Limbaugh or Kobe Bryant or Steve Noble or David Fisher or somebody that is maybe not on the radio or has some kind of a platform, but we do not know. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. The Lord makes that perfectly clear that in the book of James, that what is your life? You're here for one moment and you're gone like a mist. And we all need to remember that. It's always a good wake-up call for us. Are we living in such a way? This was fascinating. David, welcome back to the show. It's good to see you. And it was fascinating. The other day in a devotional I was reading, the question was asked, what would you like to be doing when the Lord returns? Like, literally, what would you like to be in the middle of? And it was fascinating. Hundreds and hundreds of replies at this point. One of the most commented on posts I've ever put on Facebook. And it was just a good reminder that, hey, you know what? The Lord might come back today. He might come back tonight. He might come back tomorrow. And do we want to be found doing our Father's business, which is, of course, is true. So when we're even doing a show on what, from the outside looking in, David, is people are like, well, you're talking about finances, and you're talking about the markets, and you're talking about banking, and you're talking about debt. We're talking about it from a Christian perspective in order to be good stewards of what the Lord has given us. And so that's allegiance to God's command and to God's word. And that's the kind of thing that I would like to be found doing when the Lord comes back, is doing his will in terms of speaking his truth and teaching his word, which I'm glad that we get to do that every Monday together.
You know, I would say that's the obvious, and to fine-tune a little bit, I'd like to be in worship or in prayer or devotion, and not that this is a close second, but a second for me would be sitting down with family eating my wife's food. So
that's what I was thinking, too. I mean, my first blush answer was, golly, I hope I'm with my family. Because the Lord has been the center of our family for ever since we had a family. My wife and I were married in 92. We were saved in 94. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, I'd really like to be with my family when he comes back. But of course, being about the Lord's business. Anyway, that was just an interesting little side topic that I wanted to drop in there. It's great to see you. We praise the Lord for how you're doing and your health and recovering and the ongoing story of David Fisher and Lord's working in your life. So we're excited about that. How you feeling? You look good.
I'm those that are hearing me on radio and not seeing us on Facebook. Are we on Facebook today?
Yeah, we're on Facebook audio? Live too, and they can see you on video there as well.
I've been told I look like Grizzly Adams. I have a beard on. I haven't had facial hair in over 20 years. Drives me insane, to be honest. My wife loves it, and I guess that's important. But shortly, as soon as I can continue to shave where I and it doesn't cut the spot that I had the surgery on my neck, this is going to sprout wings and fly. But I'm doing fairly good. A little bit of One of the side effects is it affects my voice. My tent making gets affected a little bit. But
sure.
I'm sure glad I'm on your program, and I know what it's like to face death. And
yes, you do.
I can say the Lord is Lord of all.
Amen.
Even during those moments, it's some of the best times I've actually had with the Lord.
Isn't that amazing? It's just and Limbaugh mentioned that he didn't talk a lot. He rarely talks about his faith, but he mentioned that he does. He called it a deeply personal relationship with God, and that he's really been working on that relationship a lot more lately. And so that's encouraging. I hope he truly knows the Lord in a saving way. We can't judge that, so let's all be careful with that one. But certainly we should be praying for him, as we've been praying for our friend David Fisher. A lot to talk about the World Economic Forum today, what's going on there with the economy and debt and the coronavirus. It's like there's so many different topics here that we have to get through. So let's dive right into it. So let's just start with kind of where the U.S. economy is, how it's grown, and how much the debt is playing a part in that. In the fourth quarter, growth wasn't quite as hot as some people were expecting, but still positive. So where are we at just generally with the U.S. economy?
Well, the economy is doing great. I mean, unemployment's at a 50-year low. Let's look at what drives the economy, Steve. What stimulates it is a few factors. Obviously, the government can stimulate it. Obviously, a president's policies, and he started that first day, if not the first week in office, where he took down a lot of President Obama's hurdles that were put in front of corporations. And when those got removed, the second thing he did is create a tax cut for corporations. So this stimulated the market, stimulated the economy. Stimulated job growth, unemployment went low. So that does one thing. And I said about 3 years, 2 years ago on your program, I said, it's going to work. It will stimulate the economy. You'll see the market go up, but you're going to see the debt grow because it's a Reaganomics philosophy. And my dad served with Reagan. I love Reagan. And it worked under him, except for the debt ballooned 186%. It was $1 trillion and 2.3 trillion when President Reagan left office. So you have that. You have the second thing that stimulates the economy, which is the Fed. That's the number one thing that stimulates the economy. And they got the pedal to the metal. They're producing money at the fastest rate they ever produced. They don't call it quantitative easing, although they now have a name for it. It's called QE Light. But it's faster than QE 2, 1, 2, and 3. But they've been forced, the market actually calls it that.
Yeah.
But then you have another thing called the corporate debt, which has ballooned, and corporations have bought their stock back at record pace.
Well, hold that thought. We're up on a break. We'll kind of unpack those things because I know we need to spend some time on each one of those issues. We'll work through that. We'll talk about also some interesting things that Donald Trump has said recently, specifically about physical gold. That's fascinating. We're talking to David Fisher. We'll be right back. Waiting for a message in the sky, a miracle. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, and just got some great news from my friend, actually my brother in Christ as well. And he happens to be a state senator here in North Carolina, Senator Carl Ford, who also happens to be in the Christian radio business. So I had a friend, Joey Stansberry, who's just a great brother in Christ and a great political activist, introduced me to Senator Ford a while ago, and we started talking and we've been working through some technical details, and then boom, all of a sudden, we're live today all across Ford Broadcasting, so we're super excited about that. AM 1140 and FM 106.1, and then on another area, AM 1460 and FM 99.3, all under Ford Broadcasting, so that's super exciting. We're excited to be with them, and just all the more people that we can engage, David, and share the truth of God's word, as well as we kind of apply our biblical understanding and our biblical call for stewardship to the world of finance. So it's great to be able to do that. I'm excited to add more stations as always, and we just welcome all of you listening on Ford Broadcasting to the show. It's great to have you.
So, you know, we're talking about debt today, and this is coming on the coattails of annually an economic forum where billionaires, hedge fund managers, presidents of countries and businessmen who run major corporations from around the world and come. And one of the number one topics out of three this year was specifically corporate debt, global debt, central bank debt. And last year it was the number one topic. So obviously this has not been fixed.
Yep.
It's only gotten worse. And that's what they're getting together to try and figure out the fix, so we don't have a big collapse, is what they're talking about now.
So how do we kind of unpack when we look at the U.S. economy in and of itself? How do we unpack? Obviously, the stock market's doing great. I mean, it's been down last week, but it's having a decent day today. But overall, during the Trump presidency, it's been a rocket ship. And last year particularly was phenomenal. But we've got that, and we've got unemployment numbers are very low, but yet our economy is our debt structure is continuing to skyrocket. We're at $23.5 trillion. We're going to add a trillion every fiscal year from the feds. It sure looks like in perpetuity at this point, it looks like that. Plus, you've got the Fed supplementing the market. So what's actually real here? What's fluff? What's manipulated? And what's actual performance? Is there any way to kind of pull all that apart?
It's difficult to pull it apart. But when you look at Reagan, you know, he increased government spending. It went up 186% which is a lot percentage wise in his term.
Sure.
It spurred the economy on. People went back to work. And the Reaganomics model is that we would philosophically pay down this debt that increased from $1 trillion to $2.3 trillion. It never got paid down. And that was the start of many other presidents after that. And now we're into much larger numbers, obviously. So this is now the new norm, Steve. Unfortunately, let's have spent $5 to $10 trillion during a 1 to 2 year term of a president. Doesn't matter if they're Democrat or Republican. It's not just a president. I want to make sure people hear me that I'm not throwing stones at a president. He's doing some great, incredible things. But paying down debt is not something that any president has done for decades. As President Trump says, we should have taken care of this thing. We should have taken care of this a long time ago. This is one thing we should have taken care. Why is it so important now? Well, why are a dozen billionaires or hedge fund managers talking about this? Why are heads of state talking about this when in 2007, when it was $8 trillion and there was nothing inside of any sort of a correction, nobody's talking about any of this? Well, something must be up to have this in the forum economically back-to-back years. And I think we're going to hear it for a few years, and unless we have a crash, then that's different. But then we'll be talking, how do we get out of the crash? And so the Fed, not just the Fed, but all central banks, Steve, are behaving wildly. I mean, let's I'm going to quote a couple of people. Guggenheim, Scott Minyard, he's the guy who owns the hedge fund Guggenheim. He says central banks are now in a Ponzi scheme. This is a billionaire who owns stocks.
Yeah. So he could effectively be shooting himself in the foot when he says stuff like that.
Yeah. Quote, we are reaching a tipping point when investors will awake to the rising tides of defaults and downgrades, end quote. Morgan Stanley says that this is surpassing even the dot-com bubble craze. Remember what happened in dot-com bubble?
Yep.
2001.
2001.
They also said the derivative strategist investment manager and one of their heads, they agree upon this statement that this is unsustainable, but in the absence of a meaningful catalyst, it can also continue. What is a catalyst? Something that causes it to change. So when you look at the corporate debt market, this is a catalyst, I believe. This is probably, I want to say it's the black swan, although they talked to Davos saying this could be the black swan. Let's put it into perspective. Let's break it down. In 2007, the corporate debt, Steve, was $700 billion. We're now $3.3 trillion. Remember, one corporate debt went default, one entity called Bear Stearns that couldn't manage the corporate debt. The next day, Lehman Brothers went down, and then we had a whole ruse of dominoes that fell that caused the whole financial landscape to drastically change, and the market affected, went down negatively. Gold obviously went up a whole bunch in that period of time, 50% in a year and 250% in 4 years. But let's take a little bit further look at this corporate debt. Not only is it $3.3 trillion, four times larger than 2007 before the collapse in 2008, 50% of that corporate debt is now rated BBB when 35% was before.
Yeah, basically junk bonds, right?
Yeah. So if we were given a grade, like an elementary school card, a BBB is like one grade below junk. A junk is an F, and a BBB, triple B, is D plus. So what's happened is a lot of the junk bonds that are big out there that have grown a whole bunch, again, leveraged debt brought down the system. The worse grade, that's the more leveraged, those are grown the most. in the last year, default on corporate debt has grown by 50%. So something is up. That's why they're saying these things at Davos. Jim Rogers says what is coming is going to be worse than 2008, similar to 1929. Now, I'm not an alarmist, but he's a billionaire saying these things, yeah. And that's what he does, studies the markets. Bill Blaine, he says, quote, "I'm convinced the debt markets are about to blow up," end quote. These are billionaires. I can go on and on. Jeffrey Gundlach, "Stocks are going to get crushed. This is unsustainable," end quote. The IMF chief, the recently elected one that just became head of the IMF, just issued a warning on January 19th of this year saying, get ready for a Great Depression. I don't like those terms she's using, but that's the term she's saying is where we're headed. This sounds like a Chicken Little. The sky is falling, sure, yeah. But I'm not the one that's saying it. These are people who run central banks, who run agencies, who run hedge funds. We never had any of this in 2007. So something is real and is up that is causing us to causing these people. And I can go on and on. I got to listen a mile
yeah,
long.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, you know, even Fidelity, remember this? Just a month ago, they said, get out of stocks to baby boomers. So, and Warren Buffett, he issued or sidetracked 40% of his money in cash. He did that about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. So the Fed is trying to, you know, buy time.
Yeah.
They're influencing the market. They're creating this thing called quantitative easing. It does support the stock market. But at some point in time, it's like a drug addict.
Right.
Like your friend
right.
says.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're the
both the arsonist and the fire department.
Exactly.
Right. Hold that thought right there. We're right up against a break. I've got some more questions about that, then we'll keep pushing on. We're talking to David Fisher, Landmark Capital, LandmarkGold.com, LandmarkGold.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, coming to you live today on Money Monday. If you're newer to the show, like our friends on Ford Broadcasting, here's how this works. People will sometimes say, hey, Steve, what's your show about? So it's Christian Talk Radio Show. Okay, I'm uber conservative. So far to the right, I'm about to fall off the flat earth. Okay, that's the deal. So people will say, what do you talk about? And my answer to them is everything. Because we should, as followers of Jesus Christ, we should be applying a vigorous biblical worldview to every nook and cranny of life. So sometimes, every Monday, the first Monday of the month, because this is Monday, February 3rd, so we do a full show with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. David's been in that business, the precious metals, and the focus or an emphasis on gold for over 25 years now. Former youth pastor, a brother in Christ. We met each other several years ago, spent hours on the phone because I didn't understand it much myself. And you've listened to radio or look online. Sometimes gold investment looks like I need some gold, I need some guns, I need a bunker, I need some propane, and I need a lot of dried food, and then I'll be okay. So before, I was super cynical about it. And then David educated me, which is what happens with Landmark Capital and LandmarkGold.com is education and information. Then if you're wise at all, you'll go, okay, all right, now I understand. This makes sense as a part of an overall portfolio. And so we talked to David. First Monday of the month, we do a full show like we are today. The subsequent Mondays, we call it a Money Monday update. We do it in the last segment of the show, the fourth segment. We start with a little scripture and then just do an update on what's happened since the previous Monday. So that's why we do it. We talk about it regularly because Jesus talked about it regularly. The Bible talks about money and possessions regularly. If it's a big deal there, it should be a big deal here, and it should be a big deal for all of us. All of us know most of us struggle with money in one way or another, and possessions and covetousness and stewardship. And so we just talk about everything on this show, sometimes politics, sometimes theology, sometimes ministries, sometimes testimonies. But one of the regular things we do every Thursday, we do Theology Thursday with our friends at Southeastern Baptist Seminary. And on Mondays, we spend some time talking about finances and what's going on in the world of finances because it affects us all. And we're all supposed to be good stewards. There you go. I just spit all of that out in about 90 seconds. So for all of you that are wondering, now you're fully up to speed and know what's happening here. We're talking again to David Fisher from Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com, a website, a great partner here on the show. So they're talking about debt. Every once in a while, our own elected officials will talk about debt, but it doesn't seem like anybody's doing anything about debt. Do you think that'll ever change, or are we going to have to hit a wall again before anybody actually does anything?
Well, President Trump said when he campaigned that he was going to wipe away the national debt.
It's a joke.
I thought that was a very lofty statement, and not to throw stones at him, but we've gone the opposite direction. And that's the way the system's really set up, Steve. It's, you know, we're now think about this. Did we ever think in our lifetime, I mean, just even 10 years ago, having a $1 trillion budget deficit, which means we're spending $1 trillion more than our country is taking on. That just gets tacked on to the national debt. Nobody would have thought that. We would have said, that's insane. Let's put the brakes on. You know, and there's a movement called the Tea Party movement, and that's what they're all about, is fiscal responsibility.
Sure.
You know, it wasn't just a few years ago, around 2016, our budget deficit was $440 billion annually. So we've more than doubled it, 2.5 times. So we're headed for a train wreck. Let's put things in perspective, because this, you know, to say it's a president's fault is only just a piece of the puzzle. It's really might not even be his fault or hers if we ever have a female in office. But let's take a look down history here real quick. This something changed decades ago when Reagan got in office, and after he left, the debt started ballooning. Now, I don't know if I want to say, did Reagan do this, or could it might have been just because we got taken off a gold standard? I think that might have been the case in 1971 under Nixon.
Yeah, back then.
But if you look back, then we get into George H.W. Bush, $1.5 trillion he added to the debt. Clinton, $1.4 trillion. Then we start taking on a whole new landscape when we get into 2002. And this is when central banks started lowering interest rates for the, you know, artificially low. And that's when Bush was in office and we fought a war, terrorism. $5.85 trillion is what he added to the debt. President Obama takes the crown.
And yeah, absolutely.
He was at $8.59 trillion.
Yeah, doubled it again.
Almost doubled it again. And so far, if we amortize the timeline out to the end of President Trump's first term, he'll be at 5.088.
Okay.
So just call it
just north. 5 trillion. So if he goes 2 trillion. Terms like Obama, he'll eclipse Obama.
He'll surpass Obama. He'll be at $9.1 trillion. If they don't lower taxes, they're already talking about this on a personal level.
It gets bigger.
They lower taxes, that debt's going to get bigger.
Yeah,
it's less revenue.
Yeah, let me interrupt you there, because I just want people to understand this. What happens? And here's when you're doing a tax lowering, whether you want to call it trickle down economics, the Reagan doctrine, whatever you want to call it. Here's initially how this works. So when you lower taxes, you by definition decrease the amount of revenue that's coming to the government.
Correct.
But you're putting more money back into the public, to the people that spend money. And then as they do better, because they're paying lower in taxes, less in taxes, then they put more of their money back into the economy, which then grows the economy, which then helps them grow their personal earnings. So even at a lower tax rate several years later, the government's revenue actually ends up going up. That's what happened with Reagan. He cut from, I mean, we had mid-70s top marginal tax rate for the wealthiest people, the richest people, and cut it in half. So all of a sudden, revenue to the government shot down. But because that spurred such economic growth, people started making a whole lot more money a few years ago, which meant the overall return to the government was actually bigger than it was when they were charging a higher tax rate. The problem was, they kept increasing spending. Reagan did to bankrupt Russia, and they don't. Yeah. So they do one side of the equation, but not the other, because the other to actually cut back, for the most part, which speaks to the American public, is political suicide. So hey, you guys continue to live on the U.S. Titanic, and we'll pretend that everything's fine, and we'll keep propping it up. But the reality is, the only way we're going to survive is if we jump overboard and jump onto a shrimp boat, but nobody's willing to live like that. Nobody's willing to deny themselves, to quote Jesus.
Exactly. Dick Cheney said that a few years ago when he was in office as vice president, quote, deficits don't matter, end quote.
Thanks.
I dare to differ.
Thanks, Mr. Cheney.
Golly. And I think we're getting ready to hit the wall. Otherwise, why would all these billionaires be saying what they're saying? So, you know, we're headed down this road, and a lot of people say, well, you know, I hear this quite a bit, actually. President Trump will take care of that. And, you know, I respect you're shaking your head, Steve.
I respect a lot about the president, too, but he's not doing jack for this issue. And neither are the Democrats, neither are the Republicans. They're all guilty on this one.
Yeah, neither did President Obama, neither did President Bush. I mean, it's the behavior. And let me just explain something. If they could, they would. They can't, so they shan't. They're not doing it.
Yeah, okay? They're not doing it.
If President, and I've asked every person that has said that, I've asked them, that person, in a very respectful, polite way, had a lot of conversations. I said, maybe there's something I'm missing, because that's what I do study.
Yeah.
And I'm going to come on national radio and explain, hey, here's the solution. We'll all get the solution. We'll vote it in or whatever it takes, implement it. I asked the question, tell me how President Trump is going to take care of, let's just take the small one, $3.3 trillion. Forget about the $10 trillion that's in unfunded pensions. Okay, forget about the $23 trillion of national debt. It's really not, let me insert this, it's really not $23 trillion. Okay, you heard of Enron, WorldCom Wireless, they went under. Why? Because they put this debt in off-balance sheet. When that got exposed, the debt was so much bigger than what they issued on balance sheet. We do the same thing as a country. We say the debt is $23 trillion. Go to the national debt clock. The unfunded liabilities is $103 trillion.
Yeah, which is out over the next 20 to 30 years. Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, that's what we're talking about.
So my question was always prefaced and said, okay, so where is President Trump going to get – how's he going to pay this $3.3 trillion down? And nobody has an answer. I said, but let's say he did, okay? Where does he get the money? Where's the $3.3 trillion come from?
Right.
So we either got to issue more government bonds, you know, called treasury bills, which the foreigners are not wanting to buy at the pace that they were before, which is the problem why we have $1 trillion.
Yeah, we take out another credit card.
take out another credit card. That'll just fix it. Or we devalue the dollar enormously. That's not a good fix. Or inflate it.
Yeah.
Or default. So there's really no fix for the $3.3 trillion. There's really no, you know, and the government this time can't bail out the next problem. You know, they bail out Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, General Motors, AIG. That was not $3.3 trillion. That was under $1 trillion, okay? They had $8 trillion national debt then. We got $23 now. The government's highly leveraged. We can't. We're at 138% debt to GDP by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, which is an intergovernmental a corporation established by the United States.
And you can't sustain it. And this, by the way, is a deeply moral issue. And none of them are talking about it. It's wide scale immorality. That we rarely use that language to talk about it, but that's exactly what it is. We're talking to David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. We'll be just right back after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. I wish it were Good News Monday, but when it comes to the debt structure of not only our nation, but listen, let's all grab a mirror. As going back to the book of James, let's grab a mirror and take a look and don't go away and 2 minutes later forget what you look like. Most Americans have a debt problem. Most Americans aren't ready for a $600 car repair. And then we wave our fingers at our government, which is $1 trillion over a year right now, plus $23.5 trillion in debt. And as David Fisher from Landmark Capital said before the break, and we're not even talking about the somewhere between 70 and $120 trillion in unfunded liabilities. That's Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security out into the next 25 to 30 years. And then we've got to talk about corporate debt. And then you look at internationally, country by country by country, the whole thing's a house of cards. And we're just living like everything's fine, but it's not. And very few people are talking about it. And I found this. We mentioned this before. And again, David and I both, and welcome back to the show, David. Thank you so much for being with us today. David and I were both saying, want to make sure you understand that we're not, we both believe that Donald Trump has done lots of wonderful things as the president of the United States. But this is not one of them. And both the Republicans and the Democrats are dereliction of duty, to say the least. This is a gross immorality when it comes to what we're doing to the next generation, the generation after that, and the generation after that. And nobody's holding the president's feet to the fire. This is from The Hill back in April of 2016. This is what he said, that he said he'd be able to get rid of the more than $19 trillion in debt over a period of 8 years. It could require using $2 trillion a year from the annual $4 trillion budget to pay off holders of the debt. That's just another credit card. Trump insisted in the interview that renegotiating all of our deals would help pay down the debt by sparking economic growth. He said this, quote, "The power is trade. Our deals are so bad. I would immediately start renegotiating our trade deals with Mexico." Okay, they have. Check that one off. "China, which they're in process of. Japan, they've done some. And all of these countries that are just absolutely destroying us. That can help," David Fisher with Landmark Capital. "But that's not nearly enough. We can't grow our way out of $100 trillion in debt." I don't know what the answer is, but our job and your job, you were mentioning this off the air. If you want to join us for the conversation when we're on a commercial break, just join us on Facebook. Just go to the Steve Noble Show Facebook page. We're Facebook Live pretty much every day during the show, but we continue a sidebar conversation during the commercial breaks. But that could help a little bit, but that doesn't help. You can't eliminate it that way. I don't ultimately know what the answer is, but I know one of our focuses is, and you just said this, well, just repeat what you were saying off the air, that we can expect that their behavior is not going to change.
Yeah, the government's not going to turn around and change the behavior. Any sitting president's not going to say, "I don't want to spend and stimulate the economy." So the government's going to spend from a presidential standpoint. The Fed's going to continue to print money out of thin air, and corporations are going to continue with huge stock buybacks to inflate their stock price. So, and need the money to pay down their corporate debt bill when it comes due. And a lot of it, by the way, is coming due at the end of this year. So that's where we could have a financial challenge here coming up real soon. But the line of financial sinning has moved quite a bit, Steve.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen overnight, but it's become the normal and acceptable. And this is why the largest hedge fund manager, Ray Dalio, said this about gold. And this is a stock guy saying this.
Yeah.
Quote, "If you don't own gold," this last week, "if you don't own gold, you know neither history nor economics. I believe it would be both risk-reducing and return-enhancing to consider gold in one's portfolio." So gold, obviously, and that's just one. There's like a dozen hedge fund managers, I've never seen this before, that are saying, get some gold, screaming loud and clear, get some gold.
And Fidelity did this. We talked about this a couple months ago.
Yeah.
That Fidelity, the big mutual fund company, comes out and says, yeah, you should probably get some gold.
You know, I texted you this week, Steve. I said, I found that President Trump likes gold.
Yeah.
In fact, I would say he loves gold. Look at his building. What's the colors of his emblem,
right?
The Trump Tower?
Okay. Yeah.
Google the inside of his apartment with Melania and his son, Barron.
Gold everywhere.
And they're young. What's it look like? A lot of gold inside. And, you know, President Trump, although they give him a hard time, he did submit financial statements to the Federal Elections Commission in July 15th of 2015, and here's what it reports in his gold holdings on page 36 and 92. It says that he actually has physical gold. What's interesting, it's not shares of gold-backed exchange-traded funds nor future contract, but physical gold.
Hmm.
And Donald Trump, President Trump, when he spoke at CPAC, he talked about gold a couple years ago, and Forbes magazine picked it up, did a story on it. Nathan Lewis is the contributor. Lewis said this: after repeatedly observed President Trump showing of a strong affinity for gold, he also has shown a keen intuitive grasp on how a gold standard was crucial to having made America great. President Trump's quote on that speech said this, quote, "We used to have a very, very solid country because it was based on a gold standard," end quote. So President Trump has talked to several people. This is, I know it's another whole nother article, but it's the same vein of thought, that he's talked about what it would be like to have the dollar backed by gold. In fact, he's nominated three people to the Fed Fed Open Market Committee that are pro gold and backing the dollar by gold.
Wow.
I don't know if this is going to happen. There's a lot of people saying it's coming. I can't not go that far.
Sure, sure.
But there are some economists that are saying this would solve the problem. And it probably would, because when we were prior to 1971, we didn't have any of these problems, and it took about a decade to really come fruition, and now it's been an ongoing problem. And if we back the dollar by gold, and certainly President Trump would like that because he's pro gold, he's not anti gold, this will cause gold to go up a bunch because if you backing the dollar by gold means for every dollar you have, you have a dollar in gold. There's not enough gold that the U.S. holds to back all the dollars out there. So they would either have to devalue the dollar a whole bunch, would crash the stock market. They're not going to do that. They have to raise the price of gold up. And economists are saying that gold would have to be conservatively around $10,000 and aggressively $35,000 an ounce. I'm not saying those things.
Right,
hear me out.
I would be shocked if
this
they ever actually pulled that trigger.
This is not a get-rich-quick scheme. Right. But gold is going to rise because we have some problems. And when the financial system starts to unravel, that's why you want to have some gold. And gold is moving up in value. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme. It takes some time for the portfolio to grow in value. Buy it, hold it, sit on it. Diversify a portion to 7, a portion to 8, scripture says, because you may know not what tragedy may befall you. Have some stocks, but make sure you get some gold in this environment because it might be one of the better investments to hold looking forward. If these things follow what the billionaires are saying and the central banks are doing, you're going to want to have some gold.
Have you found the people that you're talking to at your business, David, people that have never invested in gold before? Is the interest level going up? Are people showing more of a desire to at least understand it? Because obviously most of us, I think most of us probably had a negative, there were negative connotations about it. And it's a scam. It's this. It's overreactive. It's paranoid, blah, 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 blah. Because especially in the 80s when it was all about stocks and bonds, yada, yada. But are people kind of getting a little more sober-minded now and going, okay, I understand this is a tool. It's the opposite end of the teeter-totter. It's the keel underneath the sailboat where most of my stuff is above water, and that's the sail trying to catch the winds of the market. But I got to have some balance underneath. Are people generally showing more interest now?
It goes in waves. Right now, there's this belief that, unfortunately, because I've asked they say that Trump's going to take care of everything, therefore they say they don't need any gold. Yet that's insane because it's not one of his areas. And I've asked the question, so where's he going to get the money? Nobody's been able to answer that question. And how would he do that? So it's really what it is a default of disconnect and personal behavior of being responsible is what they're doing. Because Trump cannot take care of this. So there's been a lull in purchases compared to other presidencies. You know, this is the Tea Party movement was the Tea Party that said, hey, we can't have huge debt. We can't have overspending budget deficits, and yet those very same people are the very core of Trump supporting. So they've gone array, and they believe, and it's good that we support our president, pray for him, and follow his policies.
Absolutely.
But to take it to the extent of saying he's going to fix everything, he can't. Otherwise, he would have started a long time ago.
Well, this is going to sound rude. That's such childlike thinking. It's cult of personality thinking, and it's hey, listen, Donald, and every believer I know that's a big Trump supporter. It's not assuming he's deity. They know that. But sometimes they act like it. And again, David and I support the president often. I criticize him when I must. And I just call balls and strikes based on the word of God, and I don't really pay any attention who's standing at the plate. But to be able to look at a situation, a financial situation as dire as ours, and the debt that we have, not only on an annual basis, but then our national debt, and then what's going on with unfunded liabilities, and say, oh, well, Trump will take care of it, is Pollyannish and ignorant to the highest order. I mean, it's just remarkably sad and disappointing that people think like that.
Yeah, it is. You've got gold from our company.
Yeah.
You know the importance of it. You didn't do it to get rich quick. You bought it just for the purpose of it, buying and holding it long term, 5 to 10 years probably, or maybe longer. You know, and that's what people should buy gold. You know, it's a 2 to 5 year hold, closer to 5 than 2. I've been saying this forever. There's times when the liquid value doesn't look good, and there's times when it does really well. But you know, we're in the beginning of a bull market in gold. We're just starting out. It's the 10-yard at 100-yard dash. And unfortunately, things are going to get worse. They're going to unravel. And gold's going to play a solution. In fact, if they force this bail-in, I haven't talked about it on this program much because it's kind of, we're not in a recessionary environment. But if this could tie the bail-in. And that's why you got to get some education. You got to get some strategy going.
And you've got,
you know, we're full of information.
Yeah, you've got newsletters, you got white papers. So how can people get a hand on that so they can get educated properly?
So they can call us the old-fashioned way, 844-604-2575, 844-604-2575, or go to landmarkgold.com. DavidFisher.com.
David Fisher, as always, thank you so much for helping us understand these complex subjects. We need to definitely be praying for those in authority over us, because obviously they definitely need it. God bless you, brother. Hold on right there. We'll pray when we're done on Facebook Live. God willing, everybody, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.